Okay, this is Wednesday, 8/21/24. We're going to look at spiritual perception. And I'm going to read just one, Brother Hagin, Faith Food, August 15th. He's got the scripture here. Now one time, much time was spent. When sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the lady and ship, but also of our own lives. That's Acts chapter 27, verse 9 and 10. Paul didn't say, I've got a revelation, or the Lord told me, or the Lord revealed it to me. He said, I perceive. All right. This was just an inward witness that he had. He perceived something spiritually. Okay, y'all got that? A family of seven went out to eat. The children's food had already arrived at the table when the father suddenly said, Let's rush home. I just have a perception that we should go. When they arrived, they found that a fire had started in their house. They were able to put it out. If we would become more spirit conscious, many things could be averted. Because the Holy Spirit's trying to warn us. We were talking about that today. He's always trying to tell us, constantly talking to us. Well, God did that. He had some purpose in it, people will say. No, we miss it because we don't listen. If the sailors had listened to Paul, they could have saved the ship and all the merchandise. God is not an enemy of man. He is trying to help us. He is not working against us. He is working for us. So with that in mind, that's what we're going to look at. All right, Matthew 13. You know, being natural, born into a natural world, we are raised our whole life to go by our senses, our five senses. That's what the physical walk is about, is to adapt you to motivate in a natural world. Well, the new birth, the spiritual birth, is to train you to motivate in a spiritual world. And neither do the two. I mean, God may tell you to do a natural thing, but it's still following the Spirit. So that's the problem. Most church people apply spiritual principles in a natural way, and they get no results. Why? It's two kingdoms. One's a spiritual kingdom, the other's a natural kingdom. And it's kind of like trying to play football with basketball rules. It isn't going to work. I don't care how long you try. It's not going to work. And so that's what I want you to get, all right, tonight, or this afternoon. Okay, Matthew 13, on verse 1 here. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Jesus said here, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall he take. Shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So Isn't this kind of describe Christians? It's a hit and miss operation. Usually a hit. I mean, not a hit. It's a miss. Usually a miss. Once in a while you hit it. But for the most part, it's from what I have observed, not ditching anyone, even my own life at times. I mean, why? We got two kingdoms at work here. Because he's talking about the sower sows the word. Getting hold of the word. You know, one group did hit it, the other groups didn't. Okay. Perceive here means to see, to know, be aware, or behold. We're talking about spiritual perception. Do you know? It's just like the man that we talked about last week in the stock market. If we get before God and we hear and we're clear, we will never miss it. But see, the problem is people get embarrassed or whatever and they just do something. And that is the problem that I've had going to church all my life. Hearing about all this great, you know, we came into the Word of Faith and we saw people that actually had those things working in their life, even though we didn't. That's the key. They were operating in the Spirit, and we were like Polly want a cracker. We were doing all the stuff that they were doing, but we were not getting the results that they were getting. Well, and two, they'd had years and years and years to mature and learn these things, and we hadn't. We were just coming on board and thinking, well, Polly want a cracker. If it worked for them, it'll work for us. They take the natural things of the world, or they try to take the spiritual things and work them like natural things, and they will not work. And that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, I'm not telling them. You're getting it from perception by the Spirit. They, in the flesh, they can't understand you. They can't perceive what you're saying because they're men that don't have any perception. That's why Jesus talked to them in parables. Those that were spiritual got it. It's kind of like that pearl of great price. Someone will sell everything to buy the pearl of great price because there's where the treasure is. See, it's in the spirit realm where the treasure is. All right. The people in Jesus' day were well-versed in the physical. We know that because they were under the law. Jesus is trying to teach them spiritual things and they just could not perceive it. It appears to be that way today. Most only perceive the natural. The parables or spiritual principles. It's like this. Well, if they don't get it instantly, then they kind of like, you know, going to other outside sources to get answers to things. They want to go somewhere to get a quick fix. It has to be like that. They don't understand that spiritual growth is a lot like natural growth. It takes time to learn to operate in this kingdom. That, look how long it's taken us. I mean, I'm thankful that we know the things we know, but we didn't always know them. I remember, you know, me getting before the Lord and staying before the Lord and getting answers, and other people that I ran around with were Christians too. They had no perception of this. They went to the world for everything. And they say, well, I know that's what I ought to be doing, but they never did. Nobody wanted to take the time. They'll go to college and they'll get degrees after their name. And they'll spend bukus of money to get that natural degree to operate in this natural world and be an expert in whatever field they're in. But will they take any time to dig for that pearl of great price? Will they? No, because they don't understand. All right, and that's why, you know, when people say they don't understand, you know, about things, it's because they're in two worlds. Or really, they're in one world trying to operate another. And they don't have what the learning, the perceiving. It takes discipline to learn to follow the Spirit. You have to take time. You have to wait on Him. You have to ask him about things instead of just doing what you thought. You know, how's it worked out our whole life just doing whatever you thought? A lot of hits, a lot of misses and very few hits. Every once in a while it might work out, might pan out. All right. The parables were spiritual principles that Jesus was trying to get them to see. The operation of the kingdom of God by the parables. The opening of blinded eyes. What eyes? The eyes of our spirit. See, there's a hidden man on the inside. And that's how God wants us to see things. All right, here's a prime example. Jesus took them back to Eden, right here. This is Mark chapter 7. I've read this to y'all many times, but we're just going to read one. There's two of them, but I'm just going to read one. This is Mark chapter 7. And you'll see as I'm talking about going back to Eden. How did God operate? How did the man operate before the fall? Right here, 7 verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. See, all they know is the natural, keeping the law, doing all these external things. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, let me just say this. The thing about the Pharisees, they were all looking for Messiah. But they were also into their natural workings that when he came, they didn't perceive him. Just like this day. They didn't. They all said that they were looking for him, but really, in essence, they had their own deep state at that time too. They all had their wickedness they were doing. And you know, when Jesus come around, it looked like he might be the one, they wanted to kill him. They didn't want anybody getting any better because they had all the money. Think about that. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off to eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, of brazen vessels, and of tables. Ain't no different today. Isn't no different today. Then the Pharisees, because everybody thinks everything that they do is what's wrong. And they got to listen to the experts to tell them what they need to be doing right. And they don't know. They just want to say something. Think about that. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's why they didn't perceive him as the Messiah. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. I've heard, I don't know how accurate it is, that they had added something like 1,500 different laws onto the Ten Commandments. You know, it was such a burden, nobody could keep it. And he said unto them, fool, will ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition? There's things that people are just going to do and they ain't going to never let go of. They don't care what God says about it. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Boy, we see that today, don't we? But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or for his mother. No, the father and mother are raising the kids and raising the grandkids, and here come the great-grandkids. Is that the way our world's gotten? We sowed the wind and reaped the whirlwind, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered in many such like things ye do. When he called the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. See, it's by spiritual perception that we recognize in the garden how God did things. God's way, isn't that the word of faith? That's the way it's supposed to be. I don't think it's really that way in a lot of cases, but, you know, I mean, the simple fact that God would use sorcery, that's what many Christians believe. God uses sorcery. I'm just telling you what the word says, because it does say that. Sorceries. Pharmakia. Why could they not believe God? Because they didn't take the time to get their spiritual perception honed in to the spiritual world that supplies all of these things for us. All they know is the natural world, and if it don't go that way, we ain't going that way. I'm not talking about people that are trying to believe God and they're trying to come off things. That's a different story. We're talking about people, they don't want to hear what God has to say about it. They're going to do it their way, and there ain't nothing you can do to talk them out of it. You just might as well leave them alone about it. It has nothing to do with their physical condition. It has to do with their mindset. It has to do with their perception. It's wrong. That's why the scripture says the first thing we should do is to find out God's will for us, is to have our minds renewed with his word. If a person doesn't do that, they can't. They cannot perceive the spiritual. Like I said, spiritual growth is just like natural growth. It takes some time to get there. It takes 20 years to get 20 years old. We've been at this a long time. It's taken us a long time to get where God wants us to be. A lot of it is because there wasn't nobody in the church that we knew that could help us or teach us what was actually right, that could do stuff. I didn't need Polly Want a Cracker. That didn't help me. Not at all. It wasn't, you know, the most I've learned from is when I sought God myself. I decided, I'm coming in here and I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to pray and I'm going to do this till I get an answer. And then God answers. There's where I've grown the most, is by that. That's spiritual perception. Once you get a hold of that, nobody can take that away from you. Tens of thousands of faith teachers can't take that away from you. I don't care what they believe or who they followed. You follow the Spirit, you're going to be right where God wants you to be. And I'm not against Word of Faith people. I think they come as close as anybody, probably closer. All right. Jesus says here, there's nothing from without a man that entering in him can defile him. It's your perception of it. If you think that thing will hurt you, then you best leave it alone. But if you know about the truth of the matter, that it has nothing to do with the thing, it has to do with your mind. It has to do with what you think about it. That's what it's about right there. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Because we are creators. The Lord created us to create just like him, Adam. I've read that scripture over there in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Made in his likeness and image after his kind. What kind is God, his kind, that creates? So whatever's coming out of your thinking processes, you can create what you think. It better be the good things, though, coming out, because it works in the other way, too. All right. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's what Jesus said here. What's he talking about? Spiritual perception. He's not just saying these ears. He's saying these ears. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? He says, don't you have any spiritual perception? Do you not perceive? Whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. That's what the scripture says. Now, I'm not going to go drink poison. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, thinking processes. There's where the creation, there's the heart that creates. Talk about in Proverbs. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts. That's why Jesus said, if you think about adultery and you look at on a woman to lust after her, you've already created, whether you ever slept with her or not, you have already done it because you created it in your mind first. And that goes with other things. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. That's the creation process. For from within, out of the heart of men, this is your mind, your will, your emotions. That's why we got to guard our thought life. We can't let the devil just take us down any kind of road. You've got to rein it in when he tries to bring the bait up to get you to start thinking in a train of thought that is not good. You've got to rein that thing in and say, get it back under subjection to the Word of God and say, no, this is what the Word says and this is what I choose to think on. And in Philippians, it said we need to think on these things. Good, lovely, good report. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, called premeditated. They meditated, like God meditated on the waters. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, light be, light was. That's how it works. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. If you are a wicked, crooked person, it's going to show. It's coming out of your heart. If you're a good person, righteous person, it's going to come out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right, let's keep going. We have a church full of believers that have no perception of how to walk in the Spirit. They're using physical things they have learned to try and get a spiritual solution. Their sense are body ruled. Paul talked a lot about that. Sense are body ruled. All right. What is spiritual perception? Learning to walk in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Galatians. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Right. I think, I feel, and you know the story. Well, I think this and I feel this. What's it got to do with anything? Nothing. It's just we've gotten in a habit of it. All right. That's not getting us anywhere. Learning to weed words out of our mouth that we don't mean. So, Lord, help me not to say anything I don't mean and I don't want. You know? It's like cutting off your own foot or something. I mean, really. All right. This was one meant to be a chewing session. But sometimes we just need to hear and understand the difference between the two, because this world system is really rotten. And even though things are changing, there's still too much of it in the narrative. Because you got to be putting in another narrative. That's God's word and praying in the spirit to stay on top. Okay. Mark 8, 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I brake the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? He's trying to teach them about spiritual things, and all they could equate was, well, we didn't bring the bread. He's mad at us because we didn't bring a loaf of bread. It had nothing to do with it. Jesus made the loaf of bread multiply. Spiritually. He's trying to get a hold of a spiritual concept. We're made in God's image and likeness to multiply the loaves and fishes, if necessary, or whatever. Walk on water, whatever. We walk by faith and not by our senses. They don't mix. Not at all. Never has. That's why the success rate is so low. Because few there be that find it. Okay. It appears Jesus was getting a little frustrated, doesn't it? He said, have I been with you so long and you're still not getting what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to teach you about the kingdom of God and the Spirit. All right, Acts chapter 8. In fact, that's what all his parables were about. Because it took spiritual perception to understand the parables. He wasn't going to waste it because he knew all the deep staters out there were listening to him too. He wasn't going to give them nothing. But those that had ears to hear, they got it. And some did. All right, Acts 8, 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Sound like the, what is the Doctors Association? Yeah. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And when they, well, I'm just going to stop right there. I mean, this man, he didn't know any better. It comes by spiritual growth, spiritual perception. All right, we're moving forward, and we're learning, and we're going to follow the Spirit. That's what we're going to do. We're not going back to the religious system that we came out of. God pulled us out of there. In fact, we never could fit anywhere, really, for very long, because God has always really put it on our hearts that there was something more, there was something better. The way of the Spirit's better. All right, let's keep going here. Perceive here means to discern clearly. Peter talking to Simon. All right, Acts 10:34. This is after Peter visits Cornelius, and he says here, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He finally got it. Yeah. Perceive there means to take eagerly, seize, or possess. As you learn how to tap into the spiritual, our perception will become keener. How do we do this? Jude 20. Beloved, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost will help your spiritual perception. Is that right? Is that not right? I'm getting the signal. What is wrong? I guess I got it wrong, Jackie. Hold on. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right. Walking by faith is walking by the Spirit. All right, let's go to Acts 27. We're going to see Paul on board ship. We read a little bit in Brother Hagin's devotion there about him. Acts 27. You know, I'm looking forward to the day that when you do have something from the Lord, that people believe you. And they don't just cast you off as, oh, they're just a nutcase or a fanatic. You know, or it ought to be in the church, it ought to be the other way. If you're not spiritual, you get the rebuke. Not if you are. All right. Verse 1, And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Laodicea, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of I've got these glasses on, I'm not seeing clearly, Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Simone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place where it is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means that they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and the northwest. So had they listened to Paul, they would not have suffered what they suffered. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceeding tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. You would think they would say, okay, we better take this guy's word because we know about the stuff he does. It always pans out. He follows God. You would have thought, right? Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. This stupid, whatever, Cornelius, whatever his name is, not Cornelius, whatever the captain was, he waited till he nearly spared everybody's life was in danger before he'd even listen. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Now here's the Holy Spirit giving him the whole plan. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they were drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, yeah, he's the dummy, and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Finally, he listens. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there should be not a hair fall from the head of any of you. So we know what happened. They made it to shore. Well, we know what happened to Paul after that. But I'm, you know what I'm saying here? The Holy Spirit knows all. He knows everything. Not. They'd only listen to him. Yeah, and here, Acts 28 here, we'll look at this, just the latter part of it. This is 28:17. After Paul has this experience and he makes it back home or makes it to Rome, he calls for the Jews and he wants to talk to them. This started with verse 17 here. It says, And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. When they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Some believed and some didn't. I mean, you know, that's the way it is, right? All right. As we move forward in ministering to others, you must rely on our perception. We're going to have to learn to rely on our perception. These laying empty hands on empty heads, that don't work. No. We're going to look at one more scripture. No more flying by the seat of your pants. No more getting in a situation and you don't know what to do, so you just do something. Mm-mm. You'd do better to say, I don't have anything. And when I get something, well, we'll look at this again, but I'm not going to just do something. All right, Acts 14. All right, this is starting with verse 1 there. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. See, God's going to send people across our path that he'll give us a spiritual perception. You know, Jesus, he picked out the guy at the pool. There were thousands of infirm people. Why didn't Jesus go down the line, just have them, just all of them, just one by one, just going to get up, you know, like prayer lines, you know, all those prayer lines. Nothing against prayer lines if the Lord's leading it, but yeah. He went to one man when there was thousands upon thousands of infirm people at that pool. One man, the guy at the gate. That same guy was at the gate going into the temple the whole time Jesus was there. But not once did Jesus ever turn and talk to him. But Peter did. Peter was the one that perceived the man could be healed. And he got healed. We just need to avoid just doing stuff, okay? That don't work. No more.